This is Ken Barron. I'm with the National Association of Black and White Men Together. Happy New Year. And I want to talk today in this video cast, which will also be a podcast, on a decade marked by the outrage over drug prices. The former CEO of Turing Pharmaceuticals, who was called before the Cummings Committee in 2016 about hiking the price of an old drug for parasitic infections to $750 a pill from $13.50. He became the poster boy for pharmaceutical greed that helped define the past decade. Meanwhile, nearly one in four Americans have trouble affording prescription drugs, according to the Kaiser Family Foundation poll. Of relevance, perhaps, to our NA members, Durapim, which is an old drug, gets a huge new price. This drug has been the go-to medicine for treating toxoplasmosis, a parasitic infection especially dangerous for people with compromised immune systems, such as people living with HIV and patients who've undergone organ transplants. The drug was approved by the Food and Drug Administration in 1953, and its patents expired a long time ago. There wasn't a generic version available, and there was only one supplier in the United States. Even so, Durapim cost just $13 a pill early 2015. Then, Turing Pharmaceuticals bought the rights to the drug and raised its price by more than 5,000% overnight. Another company called Valeant did the same thing when he bought two old heart drugs, Euseprel and Nitroprusside, that had very little competition. Despite public outcry, Durapim's price hasn't budged. Today, many health insurance companies won't pay for the drug, and it's too expensive for many hospitals to keep in stock. As a result, doctors have been forced to turn to cheaper alternatives that have more side effects and less proof that they work. Then there is EpiPen, used to counteract allergic reactions. By the time the EpiPen's list price reached $300 per auto injector, in 2016, its manufacturer, Mylan, had made more than a dozen price hikes in just 6 years. People clamored for a cheaper generic for the product, which injects a dose of epinephrine to counter allergic reactions. Mylan has a virtual monopoly on it, and in the spring of 2016, the FDA has rejected two applications from other firms that wanted to make generic versions. State and federal lawmakers took notice. For years, they had been passing laws that pushed for schools and other public places to have EpiPens on hand. Mylan started offering its own generic at half the price in December 2016 and left the price of its brand name product where it was. Mylan's new version is called an authorized generic. These are usually introduced to undercut competition from other companies' generics and eat into some of the competitors' profits. Next, consider Sovidol, a first of its kind hepatitis C drug priced at $1,000 per pill. To rid a patient of HC virus would have cost $84,000 per person. State health systems struggled to pay for the treatment, and health insurance denied the drug to all but the sickest patients. An investigation led by Iowa Republican Chuck Grassley and Oregon Democrat Ron Wyden found that the state Medicaid program spent more than $1 billion on the drug in 2014, but less than 2.4% of Medicaid patients with hepatitis C got Sovaldine. Now there are a few other brand name hepatitis cures on the market, creating some competition. And then finally, let's talk about insulin. Insulin was discovered nearly 100 years ago. The rights to it were transferred to the University of Toronto for $1 so that insulin could be made available at a low cost. But insulin prices have continued to creep upwards at a rate that's higher than inflation. As a result, some patients have rationed their medicine, skipped doses, or have cut their medicine in half. In 2014, a group of patients sued the three major insulin makers, Sanofi, Eli Lilly, and Novo Nordisk, when they noticed that the companies were increasing their prices together in lockstep. When Congress and the media took notice, the price hikes mostly stopped, but the prices did not drop. In December, the House passed a bill to lower prescription drug prices. The proposed legislation would allow the government to negotiate prices of some drugs prescribed to Medicare patients, cap Medicare patients' out-of-pocket costs for prescription medicine, and penalize drug makers for raising prices faster than inflation. But the Senate isn't expected to move forward on the House bill, and the White House has vowed to veto it. Democrat-led states ask Supreme Court for fast review of Obamacare ruling is the next topic. A coalition of 20 states led by Democrats has asked the Supreme Court to fast-track a review of the current court ruling that the Affordable Care Act's requirement that Americans have health insurance is claimed to be unconstitutional. The coalition, led by California Attorney General Xavier Becerra, would likely get a hearing and decision by this summer, before the November elections, the Associated Press has reported. While it would be unusual for the Supreme Court to agree on such a timetable, it would not be unprecedented, the AP reported. I quote, "The lower court's action have created uncertainty about the future of the entire Affordable Care Act, and that uncertainty threatens adverse consequences for our nation's healthcare system, including for patients, doctors, insurers, and state and local governments," the state's filing read. There was no immediate response from the Trump administration, the AP reported. President Donald Trump has hailed the latest ruling, calling it a win for all Americans. Prescription drug pricing is an important issue in the 2020 presidential election. Every Democratic presidential hopeful from the Senate has sponsored legislation centered on lowering prescription drug costs, and the remaining candidates have pushed their own proposals on the campaign trail. Several candidates back legislation empowering the Department of Health and Human Services to negotiate directly on prescription drug prices with the manufacturers for patients covered under Medicare Part D. Candidates have supported legislation to enable direct government regulation or control of prescription drug prices beyond Medicare Part D. Finally, they have supported legislation enabling the importation of prescription drugs from Canada. Be sure to research what all of the candidates suggest in the run-up to the general election this year and check our resources at our website, nabwmt.org, and we're on Facebook, number of pages there, we're on Twitter, and we're on Instagram. Thank you for listening. I look forward to telling you of more of the issues that are important to our statement of purpose at the NABWMT. You can see a copy of this as a podcast on our nabwmt.org site. Again, thank you for listening. This is Ken Barron with the Media Committee at the National Association of Black and White Men Together.